Thank you so much for joining us again this morning. With me in the studio is Mrs. Jenny Marshman. And Jenny, we were talking about the importance of being a positive testimony the last time we were together, and you said, I have a story to tell. Well, we're ready for that story.
Well, it goes back to, you had mentioned about the White House and the leadership at that time. And I actually, in those years, when President Clinton was in the White House, I was invited to the White House. And it was some kind of a special upgraded tour, I'll say. That's the best way I could describe it. And based on the fact that that particular president did not stand for the pro-life issue, that alone, I just felt I don't want to go to the White House when that president is there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Even though it was the furthest thing from my mind to ever be invited to the White House, even
right.
just an upgraded tour.
Right.
And I don't know if other things that went wrong with President Clinton had happened at that time or if that came after that. But anyhow, I made my decision. Thank you very much, whoever invited me to that, but I wasn't going to go. And that, to me, that enters into the issue that a lot of people bring up about they don't want to get involved in politics because they don't want to compromise. Well, you know, to some people that may have been a little decision, but it was a compromise decision as far as I was concerned. I'm not going to compromise my principles
mm-hmm.
and even visit the White House just because I was invited when someone is there that does not represent what I believe
mm-hmm.
is a godly biblical principle. So
you're not,
I turned
you're
it
not
down.
Gonna, you're not going to play nice, as it were.
Right. So I turned it down.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
I never gave it a second thought, frankly. I went on continuing my life.
Right.
Well, do you want to know when President George W. Bush was in the White House? One day I'm at my computer, and that was when you were on a telephone line with a computer.
Right.
Back
right.
then,
mm-hmm.
That's how it was. And a call came through, so a window popped up that a call was coming through. But I was doing computer work, and I had to leave for an appointment. So I thought, well, I'm not going to answer that call. It's probably a telemarketer anyhow.
Okay.
So I didn't answer the call. And before I finished my business on the computer, another window popped up that said there was a message for me. And I thought, well, a telemarketer wouldn't leave a message. So I stopped, and I listened to the message. And it was the social director of President George W. Bush's White House wanting me to know that I and my husband were invited to a Christmas social at the White House.
Wow.
They gave me the date. They said an official invitation would be coming, but they just wanted me to know that we were invited.
Wow.
Well, I almost fainted right then and there because how wonderful was that?
Yeah.
I'm a grassroots activist who have just worked because I believe in what I'm doing.
Correct.
Never expecting. I always thought people that would be invited to the White House for a social like that would be our Republican National Committee people, major donors, people like that.
Right, right.
But no, we're invited to the White House. So we went. And while we were at the White House, the state chair of the party at that time was there, and someone said to him, Rick, do we have you to thank for us being invited to the White House? And he said, no, absolutely not. These invitations came directly from the White House.
Oh, okay.
So that said to me that President Bush really knew who was out there working for him.
Correct.
So that was one of seven times total in President Bush's presidency that I was at the White House.
Wow.
I was there for National Prayer Breakfast, which I always wanted to attend, but the opportunity never dreaming I'd be at the one at the White House. I was at when I served as president of the Wisconsin Federation of Republican Women.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all the regents were invited. Anyone who was a regent was invited to a tea with the First Lady.
Okay.
So I was there for four teas during my terms. And then I was there because the RNC hired me part-time for one of the campaigns, 2004, I think. And then the other half of the day was volunteer. So I was there like 8 in the morning to 8 at night working
wow. yeah.
on this particular
yeah.
re-election campaign.
But you know what I'm hearing, Jenny, is that when you see a cause that you believe is worth working for, maybe even fighting for, you believe that Christians, like yourself, need to get involved in some way.
Absolutely, Pastor. And not every Christian is going to be working those particular hours that I mentioned. That was in the last months of a very heated campaign. But you don't have to compromise as a Christian, whether you're in politics or in the workplace or at your neighbor's, wherever it is. You have to make that individual decision. There's nothing exceptional about working in politics. That it's just a feeling that people have had for years that have kept them out. Christians have kept Christians out of the political arena.
Like you said, they think it's dirty.
Yeah, and it's so important that they're in. And let's face it, in this day and age in which we're living, it's the Republican Party who stands for biblical principles, and the Democrat Party does not. Now, that hasn't always been true. My parents were Democrats. That hasn't all, but it is true today.
Just look at the party platforms.
Just, that's it. The platforms. And I'm telling you that the Republican platforms would not be as wonderful as it is. If it wouldn't be for conservatives, many are Christians who stand for the pro-life, traditional marriage issues, that they are there at resolution time, that those resolutions come to the floor, that they're voted on by the majority there. And when it comes to the platform time for that to be written, if there were not conservative and Christian people from every state sitting in those meetings, the party would not have that wonderful platform.
And there will be pressure in the next year for the Republican platform to change.
You're not a kidding.
You know, so we really need to be praying for those that have the opportunity to help write that platform to stand strong, have correct principles. What was it that Edmund Burke said about the success of evil?
He said, "All that is required for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing."
How true and concise, right?
Right, and I happen to have a Psalm 34:14 that goes with that. Well, God wrote the Psalm before Edmund Burke made the statement, but the Psalm says, "Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it." And doesn't it, you know, Timothy told us to pray for our leaders so that we can live a peaceable life.
Right.
So it all kind of fits together. Romans 13 lays out the importance of government and how that we should respond to government. I mean, God designed governments.
Right.
So I don't see how Christians can, all through these years, preach or by neglect and not preaching, for Christians not to be involved. It just does not make sense.
Because Romans 13 actually calls the leaders of the government ministers of God for good.
Exactly.
That doesn't sound like dirty politics to me.
Right. Exactly. And there is a psalm you probably know, is 73 maybe, that says that God raises up leaders and takes them down.
Right, right.
And, you know, if he has raised up a bad leader, it is because we have asked for it.
He's, we deserve who we get, right?
He's allowed it, yes.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share, just from your heart maybe, that you think is vitally important for us as believers, our listeners, to consider when it comes to the importance of taking a stand on these issues?
Well, I'm going to go back to what Dr. Robert Jeffress said when he was speaking on the implosion and that we're in that pause time. When he was talking about Christians being salt, and some Christians will say, "Oh, I don't think, you know, Christians should be involved in politics." He said, just ask yourself three questions the next time somebody says that. Number one, do you think God cares about the outlawing of his name being mentioned in the public square? Kids at graduation ceremonies, if they pray and they mention his name, I mean, they practically can be arrested and thrown in jail today. It's so extreme.
Or lose their jobs.
Right. Secondly, do you think God has any opinion about morality? Any feeling about the random immorality today, and not just same-sex marriage, but adultery, pornography, sex slaves, you name it, what's going on today? Do you think God has an opinion on that? Well, I happen to think he does. And thirdly, do you think God cares anything about those 50 million children who have been, he used the word, murdered in the womb?
Right.
Any nation who has, whether abortion or in the Old Testament, children on the altar, God judged. And we have over 50 million abortions to be responsible for before God, and he cares about those things.
Yes, he does.
So if he cares about something, are we not to care about these things?
Because we are to be godly.
Exactly.
And so if God cares and is concerned and has an opinion, then we ought to care and be concerned and have an opinion.
Exactly. And we should have enough courage to voice those opinions.
Correct.
And, you know, believe me, I know how hard it is to talk about politics when you're in a group.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing the gospel when you're in the group.
Right, right.
But that's what we're called to do. That's what we're here for. God right. could have taken us home right after he saved our soul, and he didn't. He left us here.
For a reason, didn't he?
To have an impact.
Exactly.
For him.
For Christ, right. So as we consider the next year of listening to debates and studying issues, it's not something that we ought to just wait for somebody else to take care of for us.
Right, and every single candidate out there has a website and speaks about the issues. One has to use discernment and not fall for things. If nobody has a record on this, you have to use your brain and read articles and watch more news-type programs. But to be sure, people who stand for godly principles, I'm going to say, first of all, you'll find the majority of them in the Republican Party.
Okay.
Because the platform in the Democrat Party, and you check the people's voting records, those that are serving
Correct.
Now in Congress,
Correct.
You can check their voting records or in the State House. They will not be voting for pro-life issues.
Mm-hmm.
They will
mm-hmm.
not be voting for traditional marriage.
Right.
They oppose it. And then the economic issues. I mean, we didn't even talk about those. God cares about mm-hmm. where our money goes.
Mm-hmm.
He cares about the abuse of it
right.
and the massive debt that we have. It's just so important for Christians to be more aware. And to me, they have no excuse today with all of the information on
right.
the Internet,
right?
All of the information out there on candidates. So we can just pray that in this upcoming elections that people become more aware and take their responsibility more seriously.
And as Jenny has been sharing with us these last broadcasts, we have a responsibility. We can't just stick our head in the sand and say, oh, well, God's going to hold us accountable for the impact we could have had as salt and as light. And what a shame it's going to be if when we stand before the Lord looks at us and says, I gave you a city for which you were responsible to share the gospel and to preserve the freedom of sharing the gospel. And what did you do with that freedom and that responsibility? Folks, get involved. Listen, learn, be discerning, ask God for wisdom. And then make an impact. Find some good candidates and support them. Help them. Until Jesus comes, let's use the freedom that God has given us. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.